So friends, our sermon topic this morning is called A Biblical Blueprint for the Church. And I want to discuss this topic by asking three important questions. The first question is, what is the church? The second question is, what is the purpose of the church? And the last question is, why is it important to belong to the church? And that is my sermon, short and sweet. So let's open your copy of God's Word. I will be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm reading from verse 12. I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm reading from verse 12. For even as the body is one, and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot says, because I am not a hand, I am not a part of the body, is it not for this reason any less a part of the body? And if the ear says, because I am not an eye, I am not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now, God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body, just as He desired. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, or again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on those we bestow more abundant honor, and our less presentable members become much more presentable. Whereas our more presentable members have no need of it. But God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are Christ's body and individually members of it. Let's open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, in this morning, it's the plea of my heart that you may help me to be a wise master builder. Lord, help me to lay a solid foundation. And there is only one solid foundation, and that is Christ crucified for all our sins and raised for our justification. But Lord, I pray for each one of us. Lord, help each one of us that we may carefully build our lives on Christ alone. And Lord, the prayer of our hearts is that you may truly open our eyes, open our ears, open our hearts, that we may receive your word with gladness, and that we would apply your word to our everyday lives. And Lord, we pray this with thanksgiving in your most wonderful name. Amen. So friends, our sermon topic is about the church, and I've actually shared this with my Bible study, that this topic is very near and dear to my own heart. Because about 15 years back, I'm looking at my wife, checking the date. Yeah. Yes. About 15 years back, we as a family left a very well-known holiness movement that has become increasingly legalistic and even sectarian. And as you go down that path, you compromise the gospel more and more and more. Because friends, let me tell you, when we become entrapped by legalism, there's a biblical paradigm shift or a drift that takes place in your life. You drift from a Christ-centered, biblically grounded heart to a man-centered external religion, where the focus is not on trusting alone in our great Savior, trusting alone in His finished work of the cross, but now it is Jesus plus something else. Have you experienced that in your life? Jesus plus, I need to earn my salvation by doing good works. And of course now, the problem is, you can also lose your salvation. And friends, you lose your salvation if you don't follow these rituals, these man-made rules, these do's and don'ts to the T. Can you sense the fear, the enslavement that's happening even as I speak within certain churches? We always say, you do not do good works to be saved, friends. You do good works because you are in Christ alone. And now, because we are in Christ alone, we consecrate our hearts, our minds, our attitudes, our words, and our deeds for the glory of God. That is what we do. So we need to be beware, because I'm telling you, there's many other gospels that's floating around within the church, where Christ is not enough. And where you need to add something. Sometimes people add experiences. A mystical experience. Or a second blessing. Sometimes we add man-made rules and don'ts. Sometimes we add certain rituals. Sometimes we need to submit to the authority of the man of God. But, friends, the good news in this morning is that we are complete in Christ alone. I want to repeat this. You who turned from your sin and trusted in Christ alone, you are complete in Christ alone. So I want to say, to God be the glory, friends. I'm giving a testimony out of my heart. I want to say in this morning, to God be the glory. Great things He has done through the most important ministry of the church. And what is that? It is the preaching and the teaching of the gospel. It is the preaching and the teaching of the whole counsel of God. And friends, I'm grateful for each one of you. Because in this last 12 years, you've been a great encouragement to my life. Each one of you has encouraged me in my walk with the Lord. You know, I want to say this. I am so grateful for Pastor Tiny Cooper. I know that you're also. Because the Lord has reminded me through His ministry again and again, it is not what you do for God, friends, that is of first importance in your life. It is what God has done for us in Christ alone. And we call it sovereign grace. That, friends, is of first importance. So here at Everglen Baptist Church, we are really serious about God's word, friends. We are really serious about God's word, because God's word reveals God's plan of redemption. And His plan is to save and to sanctify and to secure a people for Himself. And that is called the church. So last Sunday we said, as we follow Jesus, we've got a great responsibility to apply sound doctrine to our everyday lives with the help of the Holy Spirit. And when we do that, friends, there's a special blessing. As you trust, as you obey, as you apply, you will increase in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. So what does the Bible teach about the church? That is my first point in my outline. What does the Bible teach about the church? Let's go. This is a topical sermon. So brothers and sisters, let me confess my sin before the time. I'm going to read a lot. So please, brothers and sisters, please be gracious with me. Because I'm going to read a lot. And you don't have to read it every time. You can also listen to me. So I'm starting off with my first point. What does the Bible teach about the church? What is the church? Let's go in your Bibles to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 9. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 9. What does the Bible teach what about the church? What is the church? A wonderful verse. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 9. Who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was granted to us in Christ Jesus from all eternity. Friends, the church is not, unfortunately, this beautiful building, this beautiful sanctuary. The church is not a denomination, Baptist or Methodist or Reformed or Charismatic. The church is not a theological system. I'm an Arminian and Marius is a Calvinist, or maybe it's around. The church is the called out ones, friends. Are you listening to me? The church is the called out ones. The Bible uses the word ecclesia. That is why we call the doctrine of the church ecclesiology. And that word church is a translation of the Greek word called ecclesia, which means an assembly, the called out ones. So the root meaning of the word church in Greek, friends, is not this beautiful sanctuary. It is all about God, it's all about God calling out His people, rescuing His people from the domain of darkness and transferring us to the kingdom of His marvelous light. So we read, I'm just going to quickly go to Romans 16. I'm going to read it for you. You don't have to go there. We read a very interesting verse in Romans chapter 16 verse 5. Listen to this verse. Also greet the church that is in their house. So now Paul is referring to the church that is in the house of Priscilla and Aquila. Not the church building, friends, but a body of believers. So this is the church, and this is very important. The church is every born-again believer that God has saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. He has called you out, and now you belong eternally to Jesus. So now the Bible also teaches us about the universal church, and it teaches us about the local church. So, when we speak about the universal church, we are actually speaking about every person, everywhere, who in the past, or currently, or in the future, will call upon the name of Jesus. And what does the Bible say? When you call upon the name of Jesus, you will be saved. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. So friends, Johan gave us a wonderful testimony. What is the mission of the church? The mission of the church is to share the gospel with everybody, everywhere. And let's quickly go. You can open your Bibles. I want us to go to the local church. I want us to read from Galatians chapter 1. We've spoken about the universal church. Let's speak about the local church. We read in Galatians chapter 1, verse 1 to 2. Galatians chapter 1, verse 1 to 2. What is the local church? Paul, an apostle, not sent from men, nor through human agency, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers who are with me, to the churches at Galatia. So friends, in the province of Galatia, there were many churches. And they had a localized ministry. And they were scattered throughout the province. And we call them local churches. So what is the universal church? The universal church comprises of everyone, friends, everywhere, who belongs to Jesus. But if you are a member of the universal church, you should seek out edification, fellowship, encouragement in a local church like Everglen Baptist Church. I know many people who belong to the Church Universal, but they have never committed to a local church. I know many Christians. If you ask them, they will tell you, I'm following Jesus. I belong to the Church Universal. But there's no commitment to a local assembly. Friends, be careful now. Be careful. Because deep down, there is spiritual pride. Deep down, there is deception in those hearts. Deep down, there is confusion in those hearts. Because, let me start with myself. I need encouragement, friends. And what about you? We all need encouragement. We all need to be accountable. We all need teaching and discipleship, myself included. We all need to be humble. We all need to be teachable. We all need to commit to a local body of believers. So, now we know what the church is in the light of the word. The church, friends, is God's creation, not ours. And the church consists of every person that has been called out by the grace of God towards holy living. What does holy living mean? Holy living doesn't mean that we are perfect people. Holy living means that I have separated myself from sin and I've consecrated my life to the Lord Jesus. And by the grace of God, I want to be in step with the Lord, step by step by step. The church is owned by the Lord Jesus. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, I will build my church and all the powers of hell will not prevail against it. And friends, the church is directed by the Word and Spirit. My second point is, what is the purpose of the church? Let's open our Bibles. Let me read for us the book of Acts. I'm reading chapter 2, verse 42. The book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 42. The purpose of the church. They devoted, I love that word, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Friends, what does that word mean? What does it mean to devote yourself to something? It means that you have made a heart commitment. I like to tell people when they start debating me on church membership. I like to tell people, guys, church membership is making a heart commitment to the body of Christ. That is it. You know, our hearts is the control center of our lives. We read in Proverbs 4, watch over your heart with all diligence, because from it flows the springs of life. And friends, this is my prayer for you and for me. Let Jesus purify your heart. Let Jesus rule supreme in your heart through His Word and through His Spirit. And then you look again at this congregation, the people surrounding you. You know, the saying goes, if you find the perfect church, don't join it because Herman will spoil it. You see, I'm using myself. Don't stress now. I'm using myself. If you find the perfect church, don't join it because Herman will spoil it. Not a single one of us sitting here in this morning has arrived, friends, spiritually. Each one of us, okay, let me start with myself. Myself and you guys, we are all a work in progress. But you know what? When God saved us, He made you and me a part of His family, a part of His church, a part of His bride. So we need to pray, friends. Won't you join me in praying that at Evergreen Baptist Church, by the grace of God, we will have a heart commitment that is devoted to the very life of the church. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 to 25. Praying for a heart that is devoted to the very life of the church. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 to 25. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Friends, you see the day drawing near. Let's have a reality check. Do you see that the day of Jesus is extremely close? It is drawing near. And I'm telling you now that Satan knows this very well. That the time for this world that we enjoy and live in is running out very fast. But let's not lose heart. Because in John chapter 8, the Lord Jesus says these wonderful words. He says, I am the light of the world. And if anyone follows me, he will not walk in darkness, but he will have the light of life. Dear brothers and sisters, church is not only about receiving. It is about serving others. It is about loving other people. It is about encouraging other people. It is about discipling other people. I don't come to church with only one desire in my heart, and that is to receive. We need to come to church with a prayer in our hearts. Lord, help me. Lord, help me to be an encouragement to the people sitting next to you right now. Because friends, God, the Holy Spirit, have gifted each one of you, myself included, with a unique gift. And that gift is not for selfish purposes. That gift is to build up the body of Christ. So what is the purpose of the church? Firstly, it speaks about devoting ourselves to the apostles' teaching. What is the most important ministry in the church? It is the preaching and the teaching of God's word. Friends, God's word, not people, not Pastor Tiny, not Pastor Mark Christopher, not Pastor Herman, God's word is our highest authority. God's word is perfect. God's word is infallible. God's word is life-changing. God's word is inspired. So, friends, as a church, we need to truly value this ministry of telling people about who Jesus is and what He has done. I want us to just go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14 to 15. What is the purpose of the church? To devote ourselves to the apostles' teaching. Let's read Ephesians chapter 4. I'm reading verse 14 to 15. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14 to 15. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. But, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ. Friends, may the Lord help us that at Everglen Baptist Church that we will devote ourselves to the preaching and the teaching of God's Word. Secondly, we need to devote ourselves to fellowship. They devoted themselves to fellowship. They made that hard commitment to the life of the church. I just want to read Romans chapter 12, verse 10. Romans chapter 12, verse 10. They devoted themselves to fellowship, secondly. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Friends, the church is a place of fellowship where Christians can be devoted to one another and honor one another, where Christians can disciple each other and instruct one another, where Christians can be kind and compassionate to one another, where Christians can encourage one another, where Christians can, most importantly, love one another. Thirdly, we need to devote ourselves to observing the Lord's Supper. Let's read that wonderful portion. You can open your Bibles in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm reading 1 Corinthians chapter 11 from verse 23 to 26. What is the purpose of the church? We need to devote ourselves to the ministry of the word. We need to devote ourselves to a hard commitment to the life of the church. And we need to devote ourselves to observing the Lord's Supper. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when He was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." Friends, when we partake in the Lord's Supper, we remember that Jesus died for all our sins, and that Jesus shed his blood for the remission of sins. When we partake in the Lord's Supper, we rejoice, friends. It's not only solemn, the Lord's Supper. We rejoice in God's saving grace, that is also called forgiving grace, that is also called transforming grace, that secures us for eternity in his eternal love. Lastly, they devoted themselves to prayer. I'm reading Philippians chapter 4. You can just listen to me. Philippians chapter 4 from verse 6 to 7. They devoted themselves to prayer. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and pleading with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." So friends, the final purpose of the prayer is, the final purpose of the church is to devote yourselves to prayer. The church should be a place where we pray, friends. The church should be a place where we teach about prayer. Our dear brother Marius was leading my Bible study about prayer, and he was teaching us about prayer. The church should be a place where we practice prayer. So friends, at Everglen Baptist Church, we should devote ourselves to the most important ministry, the preaching and the teaching of God's Word. We should devote ourselves to the life of the church. You know, brothers and sisters, it breaks my heart that I sometimes miss people on a Wednesday evening Bible study. Not to say it's a law, ne? Not to say it's a law. I know that life is hectic, friends. I know that life is busy. But I just want to encourage you. Make a heart commitment to the life of the church. If I can be here on a Wednesday evening, I pray that you can be here as well. We need to devote ourselves to the Lord's Supper, because the Lord's Supper encourages our hearts to rejoice in the wonderful salvation of Jesus. We need to devote ourselves to prayer. I want to close with my last point. Why is it important for us to belong to the church? Why should a Christian belong to a local church? Number one, because Jesus has commanded us to love one another as a precious means of grace. Please open your Bibles. Let's go to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, chapter 13, verse 34 to verse 35. Jesus has commanded us to love one another. And this, friends, is a precious means of grace. "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." So friends, how can we love one another when we're at church? When we are here together, we need to love one another. So what is the blessings of belonging to a church? Number one, we can study God's word together. You know, friends, a church family must always provide consistent Bible teaching. This often comes on a Sunday morning or a Sunday evening or during a ladies' Bible study or during a midweek Bible study or during any day of the week where God's people come together to encourage one another to love and good works. I'm marketing Bible studies in this morning. And I want to invite all of you lovely people to join my Bible study on Wednesday evening. And don't stress, you are all welcome on Wednesday evening. There is enough chairs for everybody. Because friends, I'm so encouraged by my Bible study group. I'm so encouraged by, don't mention names, Herman. I'm so encouraged by Marius, by Rihanna, by Eloise, by Simon and all the other people. Please, guys, come and join us. When Tiny is back, come and join his study. Because you know what? As the words of Christ dwell richly in your heart, as you commit to fellowship, you will be encouraged, friends. You will be encouraged to do what? To love Jesus more. To love people more. Secondly, we honor God through worship. You know, as we worship God through song, through preaching, through serving, God the Holy Spirit unifies us in Christ alone. Because who is the head of the body? It is Christ. We read in Psalm 34 that wonderful call to worship. Sean, that wonderful call to worship. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. Not only can we study God's word, not only can we honor God through worship, friends, you find accountability when you commit to the life of the church. I'm traveling a lot, friends. I'm traveling throughout South Africa. And I'm telling you now, there is a wonderful reality in fellowship called accountability. You know what? I like to tell people that accountability is great medicine to overcome the besetting sin in your heart right now. Accountability is great medicine to overcome the besetting sins that we all struggle with, even I. And you know what, friends? The accuser of our souls knows this very well. Are you listening to me? Accountability is great medicine for the secret sins, the besetting sins that we struggle with, and the accuser knows it very well. Not only do we find accountability in the church, we find support in trials and tribulations. Make no mistake, my friend, your storm and my storm are coming soon. Every person on planet Earth will go through trials and tribulations. It is just a question of time. Like a Roger Jenkins. Thank you for everybody that's encouraging this brother. We are in need of encouragement and prayer. We read in Galatians 6, carry each other's burdens, for in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Friends, as we become part of the church, we gain opportunities for service. I've said this. The Lord Jesus made a radical statement. He said, I did not come to be served. I came to serve. Watch in our hearts, friends, as you listen to me. Do you have a heart that wants to serve? Become part of the church. You know, we receive so much through the body of Christ. I have received, my family, we have received so much through Everglen Baptist Church. God has gifted you uniquely to build up and to encourage the people around you. Lastly, as we become part of the church, we make disciples. You know, there comes a time where we need to learn not to be fed, but to feed other people. I want to share something, Johan. Please forgive me, my dear brother. Well, we've been friends for 40 years. And you know, the Bible says you must forgive me, ne? I want to share something about Johan and Linda in this morning. And I was reading the story of Johan and his wife Linda. I'm going to read it for you. This is a testimony. I'm closing. Johan is speaking. A few years ago, my wife and I got to do a safari in the Serengeti. When was that, Johan? Long time back. 2017. Okay, let me repeat. Okay. In 27, my wife and I got to do a safari in the Serengeti. The driver introduced us to the expedition cook. And immediately when I heard the cook's name, I realized that he must be from a Muslim person background. When we parted at the end of the trip, the cook said that he was upset that he didn't get an audio Bible. When we had given our driver a Bible, because he expressed interest, but I didn't even think of the opportunity to give the cook one. I gave him a Bible in Swahili, and I kept in contact with him using WhatsApp. Of course, I was always careful not to break our relationship by criticizing. You must listen to this, friends. Listen to this. Of course, I was always careful not to break our relationship by criticizing his religion or anything like that. I just kept communicating with him, asking simple questions about his family and whether his Mega Voice player was holding up. But Mega Voice are good stuff, ne, Johan, they normally hold up, ne? Yes. After exactly 3 years, to the day of our initial trip, he contacted me again after 3 or 4 months of no interaction. I just felt that I needed to ask him, what do you think of the contents of the Mega Voice player? He said that he would really like to become a Christian. This was exciting. But I realized the next thing that often happens in their environment is that you are rejected and even persecuted by your family and friends. I ask him, what do your wife and family say? And he said, my wife would also like to become a Christian, as well as my children also. And as a result, they are baptized and now worship God in a local church. I want to close, friends. Listen to Oswald Chambers. He made the following statement about the church. The church is a separated band of people who are united to God by the regenerating power of the Spirit. And the bedrock of membership in the church is that we know who Jesus is by a personal revelation of Him. The indwelling Spirit is the supreme guide, and He keeps us absorbed with our Lord. Dear believer, make a heart commitment to the life of the church for Christ's glory and for the good of others. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, You have created the church. And Lord Jesus, You own the church. And You have promised to build the church. And Holy Spirit, through the Word, You are guiding us and directing us and helping us. Lord, my simple prayer in this morning is, help us to be devoted to this local body of believers. And I pray this in that most wonderful name of our great Savior, the Lord Jesus. Amen.